There we go. All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Frank at Iron Age Sports with our special guest today. He's going to be talking about his career in strength. Coach Brendan Ostrzeski. Do I got it right?
Ostrzeski. Yep.
And we'll get right into it. Coach, if you'd like to give a little background as to your history and strength.
Sure. Well, Frank, thanks. First off, thanks for having me on here. I started the strength conditioning profession back in 2016 when I got my CSCS certification. But my interest really came through strength conditioning when I was an athlete, when I was a young athlete. I first got into the sport of basketball. I was fortunate to play collegiate basketball at the Division III level. But at that time, I figured out that I was not Michael Jordan. So then I changed my profession. I transferred to Temple University, where I studied kinesiology and exercise science. And then from there, at Temple University, I worked with the men's basketball program there for 2 summers, for 2 years. And then after Temple University, I did some volunteer services with the University of Pennsylvania. And then I was also a health and physical education teacher at Archbishop Ryan High School. And now currently I'm at the Woodstock Academy.
Glad you mentioned that, because I didn't want you to get your pay docked. You didn't mention Woodstock there. Now at Woodstock, we'll just start and work our way back. Woodstock, you are in charge of what part of their program?
So currently at Woodstock, I'm the director of strength and conditioning for all 27 plus sports here at the Academy. We serve athletes from the ninth grade up until the 13th, which is our postgraduate program.
Okay, now just for everybody who's thinking about this career, to get to the point that you're at, could you have just walked in there with no education, no accreditation, and taking that job?
No, the minimum requirements you have to have at least certification, such as the Certified Strength Conditioning Specialist certification from the National Strength and Conditioning Association. And now the additional minimum requirements, you have to have at least your bachelor's degree in strength conditioning or other relative degrees in that field.
Would kinesiology also count for that?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, just trying to give everybody as many choices to get themselves going.
For sure.
And you mentioned national strength. What would you think would be a good resource outside of just the regular bachelor's degree for people to look at if they have an interest in sports, as far as organizations that are available with materials on strength and on teaching strength to sports teams?
Sure. Well, the NSCA.com, National Strength Conditioning Association, has a lot of resources. You can become a member. Currently, if you're a student, it's at a discounted rate. Or if you're not a student, you can still become a member through that organization. And they have a lot of educational resources on how to become a strength coach. A new organization that is evolving is the High School Strength Conditioning Association. So that is the NHSSCA.us. National High School Strength Conditioning Association. They're actually coming out with a certification next year, I believe in 2021. So you can become a strength conditioning coach through the National High School Strength Conditioning Association, specifically targeting high school athletes.
Yeah, I had a chance to go to one down here at West Broward Prep.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it was right at the time that they had the shooting. So we were there 4 days after Stoneman Douglas.
Okay.
But a lot of information was given out there. And I think people have to be aware, when I said that I wanted to do this with you especially, high school athletics is no joke. You know, you're not coach whoever with your baggy socks and your bad shirt blowing a whistle at people. If these people aren't ready to really work to get to the next step, which would be college. I think for college is almost the pros, right? If you can get into a real, a big school to play, because that's what I was picking up there. You know, a lot of Christian academies come to the Southern, where I am in Florida. So it's Florida, Georgia, and then going west.
Yep.
And you see fellows like yourself, but then there are also people who have been strength coaches at the college level. couple guys from Chapel Hill who then went to a Christian academy and are finding, you know, work with a real paycheck.
Yep.
let's not kill ourselves. It's nice to live in a tent.
Yep.
But the whole point is, so you have to feed you, your wife, your children, the dog. And, you know, that's what I'm glad you brought those two up, because I had a chance, like I said, for the high school. Are you involved with them in your region, or are you going to give it?
Yep. Yeah. So I'm a member through the National High School Strength and Conditioning Association. And speaking about the high school athletes, there is such a high need right now for that specific population, because a lot of these kids now compared to decades ago, there's a higher inactivity rate within this population, you know? So you have to, a lot of them have a lot of movement deficiencies. So you got to be able to introduce these movements. And like you said, there's a higher need for these type of athletes, because like I said earlier, the need is there, because there's so many athletes that are struggling with movement deficiencies and are getting injured at such high rates.
Well, then here's a question that we're just going to jump off the subject list on your subject now.
Yeah.
Would you put mobility at one of your highest priorities with your general population there at the school? And then where would that be for people wishing, like, I'm walking in as a freshman and I want to play a sport for you?
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of stuff that you have to work on mobility-wise. But just general movements like the squat, hinge, push, pull, lunge, those different types of variations that you have to work on. You have to regress to body weight movements. You got to reintroduce the movement to those type of athletes, because some of them have never been in the weight room before.
Yeah, that's crazy, because, you know, back in the old days when I was there in Kerosene, only the varsity football players at my high school had access to real weights. Everybody yep. else screwed around with this old universal thing that probably was the original. Yep. And, you know, they weren't these bigger, stronger players. But you find now that, where do you start to weight train them at
sure.
that are in the actual teams? Let's say teams versus your general population.
Mm-hmm.
Team players, freshmen, sophomore. Where do you start working them in?
Sure. So, right now, currently, I'm only one strength coach to 27 plus sports. So, I work with multiple athletes at a time. So, I'll generally assess each athlete just through visual cues. So, I look to see how they move during that. We'll do the dynamic warm up first. And then I'll assess to see how each athlete moves through the dynamic warm up. And then we'll go into just basic body weight movements, such as squats, body weight squats. I'll see how they perform each body weight squat exercise, and to see if I can identify certain deficiencies in their movements. And then I'll be able to give them some cues, coaching cues, to correct that in a large group setting. So it's difficult to individualize the movements for each athlete within a large group setting. So you have to keep it as simple as possible.
And you, I saw that you have a few fellows that are already going up to the big leagues. You know, I do follow you.
Yep.
When you have these standouts, let's look, I'll say it as a, let's say as what you just described, would you consider that, let's say it's a triage. Now I have maybe different divisions of my athleticism, and then
yes.
work them as a circuit, or, you know, do for the elites, can I spend a little more time on them? Because after all, that's why you're there,
yeah. right?
To field right. a field a championship team.
Right.
So if you can give us a little on your rationale for how
sure.
you prioritize your people.
Sure. So, well, you would be surprised. Some of the elite athletes on the basketball court or on the field have no, recollection or have no idea how to perform any type of resistance training movement. So they could play, they've played years throughout their childhood on the basketball court, on the football field, etc., with no idea how to perform resistance training movements or weight training movements. So For the elite athlete, I train them the same as the incoming freshmen. So, for example, for our postgraduate level athletes that are in doing a postgrad year, the 13th year, technically in high school, I will treat them the same as an incoming freshman.
Okay, so because basically, as you say, because the issue, let's say, could be that people aren't familiarizing their children with the idea of the specific training necessary for them to then go forward.
Correct.
So even though you've had some fellas or ladies that are incredible natural talents, incredible muscle recruitment, you have to bring them in, and now you're retooling them.
Yep.
Or you're just, it's, do you feel it's an enhancement?
Yes. It's definitely an enhancement because they have no idea how to perform those type of movements for the majority. So I introduce those movements to them. And it actually helps prepare them at the next level, the collegiate level, or if they have the opportunity to go to the professional level.
Because that would be important due to the fact that if you go to the machine, like down here at University of Miami, let's say.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore, but Coach Felder was a Philadelphia guy and a Penn State player. And we had a chance to have him out at high school strength. And that's the thing. They have a system, and if you can't fit into that system, you're going to have a hard time making those big gains because everybody wants to play whatever, number 1 through 5. So now you're getting good, healthy competition. Do you feel that now that you have people who may not have had that incredible gift, that they are out there working, the Pete Rose type, out there really listening to what you're saying, putting themselves in the gym, whatever, 3 to 4 days a week or however long you have them in there?
Yeah.
So that's bringing the curve up, you think, much faster than it would have been, let's say, when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, when I was younger, I didn't have a strength coach in high school, and I didn't really engage in resistance training until I was in college. I think that a lot of my competitors at the Division III level benefited from resistance training in the past. And even for the incoming guys or postgraduate, we'll take basketball, for example. For the postgraduate level guys that are coming that are Division III talent, we were able to recommend our services, our strength conditioning services and our exercises that would benefit them for the next level. And they were able to, you know, go up a level. One kid had no Division I offers. He came in here, worked his tail off, and was able to play Division I basketball at Fordham University. So he's just a prime example of how beneficial the weight room is for you to enhance your performance in the future.
So taking the fact that you have a school that costs more than $5 a year to attend Woodstock. Let's say we're down here where Edison, Washington, something like that, and they don't have that person, or they have somebody who's just filling a slot. I remember a fellow had said a thing. How would somebody who has, let's say, couple certifications and is interested in trying to work in there, they used to say, build your own position if possible. Find a school that doesn't have a weight training, strength training person. See if you can come in as a volunteer and then work yourself into a full position from there. What would your thoughts be on that?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I did in the past. That was at my high school, at Archbishop Ryan High School, where I attended. I volunteered there first. And that's kind of how I got noticed. I volunteered there as actually before I became a health and physical education teacher with their basketball program. And then I got my foot in the door to become a health and physical education teacher. So there's many opportunities for people to volunteer their services. And, you know, you never know, maybe you'll become a full-time employee like I had in the past.
Yeah, that was I threw that one in there because I remember talking to you a long time ago about that.
Yeah.
And that's been the thing. I think we've seen a lot of people like, oh, I'd like to be that guy, but you know, they're not hiring, or I don't know anybody. And it really comes down to, you have to go make those calls, you have to go by and see what it is that they want. Because you know, and I I guess I feel that way, just seeing what's been out there, that they need them, because you're going to be losing. Ultimately, I'm sure there's a figure, teams that do not act like professionals when it comes to their conditioning versus teams that do are probably starting to lose a lot more games or a lot more records than the other.
Yep.
It's not a personal issue. It's not a, you know, bias issue. That's just the facts, correct?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to have that professional in there, you know, to help aid you with the services if you want to compete at a higher level, because now other schools now are hiring full-time strength conditioning coaches. And if you don't have a full-time strength conditioning coach at your school or your university, you're going to lose out on the competition.
Now, what would you say, because I'm assuming you do some work on as well individually. Mm-hmm. If I have a son or daughter, or yeah, I myself am in this situation, and I feel that I need to have additional training to get myself up and above. Maybe I am that guy who's Division III that could be Division I.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's just some work that has to be done there that the school cannot afford. What are your thoughts as far as, will an individual strength coach outside of a program take away from what the program is teaching, or would that accentuate what the program's teaching?
Yeah, so
am I making that too vague?
No, I understand. So, say, for example, like you were saying, like a incoming athlete works with another outdoor service, mm-hmm, right? Like at a private facility. I think it's important for that incoming athlete who is going to work with me or any other strength coach to collaborate with that private strength conditioning coach who they have been working with in the past. So this way they know where their current status is, where their current training status, and any if they have any sort of deficiencies or any sort of injuries that they suffered in the past. It's important for members within the field or profession to collaborate, just because we want to help the athlete progress. So the collaboration is important.
Okay. Well, that's we have an issue here, South Florida, with baseball.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Florida baseball system is much known and feared everywhere else in the country, because unfortunately we do destroy a lot of people. Basically because some high school coaches, this is as far as they're worried about. Mm-hmm. And they burn out pitchers and this and that and the other thing. But we also have some incredible facilities. Yeah. And I haven't had a chance to go over and talk to them. But, you know, it must be nice. Let's put it this way. It must be nice to have the money to have your son or daughter being coached by everybody who's played in Major League ball. You know, that's mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with some of these sports, people are like, well, I don't know who that guy is. Well, yeah. He played for whoever. He played for the Expos. I know the one guy played for the Expos. The guy played for the for Montreal, whoever they are, that same team. And a fellow from the Yankees and stuff like that. There's a lot of players. And I think that's been an issue. And you've been involved in this a lot too. People have to understand that you are filling more than the positions of the people that you see on television. That right. Getting... If you're going to get a ride to Villanova, mm-hmm. let's say, we'll stick up in the Northeast, or like you said, Dartmouth,
yeah.
Brown University, because now maybe you're playing, maybe you're track and field,
mm-hmm.
you know, or hockey, then it's a really big deal. And you have to do whatever, you know, the parents, if they can, have to do what it takes, but they have to realize that you are the person who's going to make it happen. Them badgering their child at home every night is not going to do it. They're going to have to rely on the strength people, the people that are teaching them the skills to get it done. And yeah. I'm seeing that as being one of the reasons that pushes these schools to pick up a fellow like yourself for high school. Because the parents are like, my son's not going to have it, or daughter is not going to have a chance unless they start at, you know, honestly here, I think they start at seventh grade.
Yeah,
something like that. It's almost you feel like it's the Soviet Union in the old days. He's 6 year old playing, sixth grader playing traveling baseball.
Yeah. But
I know where you are, maybe not so much.
Yep. But what you bring up an important topic, the overemphasis of sports specialization, where a lot of young kids now are just specializing in one sport for a long period of time. And that's where there's going to be a higher prevalence of injury at that rate, because you're doing the same movements over and over again. And that's why it's important for those kids to engage in strength training, to work on those muscular imbalances.
Yeah, that was soccer. When soccer was big, when I was up near Philadelphia, Delran, New Jersey, because they had so many Olympians coming out of their program, every little kid in a 40-mile range was busy playing soccer. I think it was like hips and knees. What was their big problem they were having?
They were at the
injuries.
I'm not sure. Oh, the injuries for the
soccer players, the younger ones, yeah.
Just because they're repeating the movements for a long period of time. So if you keep doing those movements and you don't provide any sort of overload to the opposing muscle groups, then you're going to be at a fault. You're going to increase the likelihood of injury.
So then that would be the question: is diversity of exercise, diversity of sport? Give us a recommendation. I have a sixth grader.
Yeah.
Or I have an ability to, you know, work with that through my school. I'm a prep school, so I have them from first grade till they go to whatever, Yale.
Okay. Yeah.
Where would I be? Diversity of sport, and then where would I pick up my specificity again?
Sure. So at a younger age, you want to engage in many different types of sports, which I recommend, so you don't develop that overuse of that single sport specification, because you develop also different types of skills on the court and the playing field. And then as you get older, maybe towards the end of high school, towards college, you could possibly specialize in that sport. But through the younger years up and leading up to college and for longer, you want to still continue that resistance training within your program, just so you get stronger. And then there's so much literature on the topic of resistance training and the benefits that it has for younger athletes all the way up into the professional leagues, where it reduces the likelihood of developing injuries.
Well, then I'll throw a couple at you and you give me some thoughts on it.
Sure.
Because like I said, who knows? This could be the biggest video in Azerbaijan tomorrow. I don't know. Track and field, men and women. We're split it however. What are your thoughts? When? What's best?
So I think running is great for kids. I'm not an expert on the specification of sport per se, but I would say, I mean, it's important. Running mechanics is important from early childhood all the way up into, you know, as far as you can go. Yeah, to run properly is a key component in all sport. If you have any sort of running deficiencies or impairments in running, it can alter your performance on the court, field, etc. So I think that's important for at any age, any level.
But they have to learn to run correctly, which is crazy. Yeah. But right or wrong, you have to learn how to run. You can't come running at me like this. That's not going to get me anywhere.
Right. Well, like even your foot strike, for example, if you're improperly landing when you're running, that could cause injuries up through the kinetic chain all the way up to different joints, knee, hips. So that can cause areas of injury anywhere. So it's important for you to learn to run properly.
Well, I can imagine, especially because people don't realize from seeing you in the photo that you're really 10 foot tall.
Four and a half.
Well, you must have had thicker sneakers, because I was 6'3", I guess. My vertebrae must have been going. But anyway, that was I know for the basketball, that's always a big issue trying to keep these guys' feet on.
Yep.
Especially now that they don't have Chuck Taylors to wear, which were the most supportive sneaker ever designed.
Yep. A lot of the shoes now limit your range of motion within the ankle. So you have to – I actually work with the athletes, those specific type of athletes, the basketball athletes, with the shoes off just so we can get that ankle mobility. And we do a lot of unilateral movements to strengthen that area, those joints, because the injuries are really prevalent in the ankles, knees, and hips for those type of athletes.
Yeah, it's amazing to see, you know, it's just a little thing, like you're saying, just a difference in the shoe, just have a high top is, which is strange that they have them if it is going to cause an issue, but you know, they have that in a number of sports. I know we have that for training with ice hockey. It's really a lot of it's off with the shoe, working, you know, your tendon issues, keeping flexibility because, you know, they're stuck in that position.
Right.
For an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
An hour or more. So, and that's the back issue as well. So, well, how about this then? The benefit for you, knowing that you're actually a very enthusiastic person when it comes to coaching. I've seen you coach before at a place I'll mention.
Yeah.
They're not paying me any money to mention it. And where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So, with 26 sports, are you constantly finding new ways to bring things into that, or are you becoming like a Taco Bell where there are five things and then we'll make those five things in 25 different ways to make them work out?
No, so I provide general movements for the squat, hinge, press, push, pull, different types of movements within those specific categories. But if one athlete's more proficient within the subcategory of that movement, say for example, if they're really proficient in performing the air squat or the body weight squat, then I'll progress them into performing the back squat, front squat, overhead squat. Those are just some examples. So within each category, different athletes are able to progress within that subcategory list.
Okay. Well, that's good because I know, like you said, 26 sports, one man.
Yeah.
It sounds like you may have to ask for a raise. I hope your boss is watching this. Maybe you should have to get a raise out of that. But if you start putting out winners in 20 sports, maybe they'll change the program around a little bit. Or somebody young and impressionable will come on and want to volunteer with you, right?
Yeah. Well, within that large group setting, I have to be very adaptable.
I've had a chance to watch some of the videos coming out of the Temple Iron Owls program.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not going to mention his name either because he doesn't pay me. And I only go to one alumni event a year. Disclosure, I also went to Temple, not when Brendan went. Back when it was fun. The 90s. Yeah. But so anyway, so we're covering a lot of this stuff. Now, you're at the high school level. Are there thoughts, if you were to want to say, where's my next step other than to a bigger, more cash-filled high school?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the college. You know, down here, everybody, it's University of Miami, FSU, UF. One of those three is like the dream.
Yep.
What would you think? What would you say to somebody who wants to? Because, like I said, I heard Felder talk, but he grossly oversimplifies how he got to where he is in his career.
Yeah. Well, you have to get in the foot your foot in the door if you want to go at that certain level. So, say for example, if you want to be a collegiate strength conditioning coach, you have to do volunteer work through that specific. At that specific level, the collegiate level, or you can do some graduate assistant work. You can search the web for different types of job opportunities for grad assistants in that area. So my recommendation would be first to reach out to the head strength and conditioning coach, see if there's any volunteer opportunities or if there's any grad assistant opportunities.
Yeah, I think there's a a situation people think it's an unattainable, or they think they have to have a hook, you know, like my father went to school with the coach or something like that. Whereas some of these people, I'm sure there are some colleges that aren't operating at one coach for 26 sports, but they're obviously not body rich, like I would say the three schools I mentioned. I mean, I know there's guys that just take the girls' volleyball team. They don't touch anybody else.
Yep.
It must be nice to have a program like that, but is it, you know, do you think that's really, I don't want to make it confrontational. How, you know, maybe they aren't getting the full benefit that somebody who's got the variety that a place like yours is having. So if I'm putting you out and all you've ever done is, and I know I've seen the guy, puts the 45-pound plate on when it's, you know, the next guy comes up the bench, we have a sheet, he's going to hit 400. My job is to put the left 45 on, and the other assistant's job is to put the right 45 on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I don't know if that's Mr. Miyagi training, and you're just learning by osmosis.
Yep.
Your personal choice, then. Do you prefer that you've gone this way to Woodstock?
Yeah, well, I think in that type of situation, it seems to be like more of a trust thing. So they want to educate you first on their style of training or their training philosophy. So I know in the past I've kind of done something similar to that where I would rack the weights and stuff. But then eventually over time I was able to coach in that specific type of setting. So I would say definitely build the person's trust if you're working under a strength coach as a grad assistant or as a volunteer. And then even request for the opportunity to help coach, give some coaching lessons in that type of setting.
Okay, that's always been a big thing. I'm, you know, once again, credit to the High School Strength Committee for having these college guys out there to explain the big programs. You know?
Yeah.
It would be like I hate to say, there's some fans out there, New England Patriots program.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they are so driven, it's a machine-driven more than a name-driven system.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not a big whatever. I don't watch sports radio. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong game for not watching sports radio or listening to sports radio. But some of these programs just sort of go on and on by themselves. So I guess at some point there'll be a Coach O machine for basketball at the Sixers or wherever it is that you were going to end up. Somebody has to end up at the Sixers, right?
Yeah. Well, they have great staff. I'm actually – one of my mentors is actually on staff.
I know you're a diehard Philadelphia guy.
Oh, yeah. All Philly sports.
Yeah. So, well, when the duty calls, just remember, you're still young and you're still in shape. Duty code call any time, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
As long as it's not the Timberwolves. But they where was I going with that? So yeah, I mean, well then could you, if you, since we've covered, I think we've got a lot covered for people that are thinking about this for,
yep.
If you could give us or everybody a couple of thoughts as when you're, what's your mindset going through this let's say adventure? Because I mean every day is a different thing. You know, everybody's different. You're dealing with personalities, you're dealing with issues with physiology, you're doing a lot of out, and I don't know if it's outside pressure from the boosters.
Yep.
when you're out there saying, you know, as a young guy coming out of Northeast Philadelphia and I got into this, I said I've got to do whatever, and now I'm on it and I'm saying what? How would I encapsulate my coaching style or coaching philosophy?
Sure. Well, first you have to be humble. I know when I was younger, I thought I knew everything. But as you get older, you realize you know less than you actually know. So you got to be very humble with your approach. You got to be able to develop good relationships with all the sports coaches, with the administration, because technically the sport coaches and the admin are the ones that are handing you the clientele, which is the athlete. So you have to have a good relationship with them. You also have to educate all the sports coaching, the sports coaches and the administration about the physiology of the different types of, or your philosophy of how you perform in the gym, in the weight room. So it's important to first to be humble, and also to develop those relationships with those key personnel.
And you found that to be the pretty straight secret to your success.
Yeah. Yeah. Be humble, be open-minded, be consistent with your approach, and also develop good relationships with the people within your environment.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's what I think everybody needs to hear. It's not, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
No.
You're out there to do it. And I should have asked earlier, but I'll ask now. A school such as your own, do they also then have, you're big basketball, right? Is that your big sport?
Yep.
Is there also an additional person who works them out? Weight side, or are you the only one? Do they have specific work?
Well, they have assistant coaches who work on court stuff, skill work, but I'm the only strength and conditioning coach that works with them in the weight room.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify earlier that instead of being like an overall conditioner, which some of these guys are, and then there's the football guy or the basketball guy.
Yep.
You are the beginning and end of it all.
Yep, I'm the strength coach for every sport here. Yep, yep.
Because yeah, I mean, I've spoken with a couple of people, and that was actually an issue because there was a general conditioning for the entire student body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we don't do rack pulls. Well, the basketball team does rack pulls.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. And then they brought another fellow in who did that. Or today you put your other hat on, and now yep. I'm a basketball strength person.
Yep. No, I oversee everything.
Yeah. So yep. With just for you specific. So does your whole school have to come in, or is it just specifically sports? Do you offer like an overall for the student body?
Yeah.
As part of their curriculum, even at this point.
Yeah. So we do have weight training classes for that's open up to all students, non-athletes as well. And I help co-teach with the phys ed teachers during the day. So I give instruction on how to perform different types of weight training movements for the student body. But the after-school program, which is the strength conditioning services that I provide mostly during the after-school hours, that's completely voluntary. It's not mandatory. So all the athletes are fortunately have bought in to the program because they've seen the success, but it didn't happen overnight. For the first year, I was just working predominantly with the basketball, football, the baseball, those type of main sports that usually have been resistance training and using strength conditioning in the past. But then eventually people started to buy into those my services. So then it got better throughout the years.
Well, lastly on this is, do you feel that as a younger man that you'd be able to build it up a little faster as far as, like you said, people see it? First of all, you know what you're talking about. You're an athlete yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you're not in that age group, but you're a lot closer than some 65-year-old guy smoking a cigarette out back to the gym and coming back in. Do you think that helped with your rapport?
Yeah, I think the volunteers.
You're the cool coach. I also know what you're talking about.
Well, I think the experiences that I had in the past prior to being a strength coach here has helped me with that type of scenario. It helped build confidence in my coaching approach. So I give a lot of credit to my mentors in the past and a lot of the people that I worked with to help me with the future of this profession.
Okay. Well, we'll try to wrap it up because you have to go feed the baby.
Yeah. So,
if you have any last thoughts that you'd like to get out there for people who are looking at this, just let me know. Just hit it.
Sure. Yeah. If you guys have any questions, you can follow me on Instagram, B_Ostaszewski. It's OstaszewSki. Same Twitter handle. You can reach me out on Twitter as well.
That's the challenge. If they can spell that out correctly, then you can then take them into the Shaolin Temple, right?
Yeah. Well, we could put it on the description.
Oh,
right?
No.
Okay.
Learn the hard way, like I had.
Okay.
But right. I like to. I really appreciate you taking the time. I mean, I I don't want to say I saw this when I saw you, you know, years back when you were working on your, when you were doing the beach body.
Yep.
But I mean, you were much more motivated than most of the other guys, and yep, much more motivated than even a lot of the coaches that I know since then, you know.
I appreciate
that. I don't know how it's been since, but you know, even when we did the Olympic cert thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, you were right in there. And it's really good to see that you've managed to get yourself where you are. I'm not joking about the Sixers. At some point, I know that it's secretly the dream, but I'd actually
that would be great.
I'll actually watch them if you switch colors. So I thank you. Anybody who has questions, I'll put his Coach Ostrzeski's information on the YouTube channel in the description. You can get him at Instagram. Or you could sign up and become a student at Woodstock Academy if you so desire to that much close attention. And stay tuned for next time. We have a welterweight professional boxer and Olympic alternate, Paul the Punisher Kroll. So that should be interesting there. A little bit about the fight game and why just because you do a lot of push-ups and sit-ups, he can still knock you out. So thank you all very much. If you'd hold for a second, Brent, I'm going to turn this thing off.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Frank.